There's no doubt about that. I hope you figured that out by now. If you haven't, let me just save you a lot of worry and anxiety. Don't look for satisfaction anywhere else than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the place of satisfaction, no doubt about it. I'd like you to take the Word of God with me, please, and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I have four series going, and this is a series I'm coming back to that I just occasionally preach on. What I try to do is have an Old Testament book going, that's the book of Ecclesiastes. A New Testament book going, that's the book of Acts. A topical series going right now, that is sound doctrine. Then I have another topical series going, and that is Satan's strongholds. I've been preaching on Satan's strongholds for many years now, and I encourage you that we have made these sermons available for you on our website. Also, those that I've preached up to this point is available out in our bookstore out here in CD form. These are different things the devil tries to get a foothold in your life with. Things like worry, things like doubt, things like fear. In the men's life especially, things like pornography. Just different topics like that. And I've preached on a lot of those. Hypocrisy. I mean, all of these things are going on. The stronghold of alcohol, the stronghold of social media. I preached on all of these. Those are available for you out in the bookstore or on our website. And I'm coming today to another stronghold that I guarantee every one of us need. You say, I don't need this. Well, you're fooling yourself. Because this is something that the devil tries to use on every single solitary individual on planet Earth. Even those who are right with God. Even those whose heart is as right with God as you know it can be. This is a stronghold that is keeping so many people from everything God wants them to be. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 35. This I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord, notice this that now, without distraction. And today I want to preach to you on the stronghold of distractions. The stronghold of distractions. Let's pray together. I share this thought with you. Father, would you bless today? Help me. I need your help. Dear God, as I've already said, I do not want to preach if you do not help me today. I mean that. I pray my heart is clean. Nothing inside of my heart that hinders you. If there is, forgive me, remove it, get it out. May you be the preacher today. Preach to me and preach through me to these dear folks. Bless now, I pray. Forgive my sin in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a story involving Yogi Berra, the well-known catcher for the New York Yankees, and Hank Aaron, who at that time was the chief power hitter for the Milwaukee Braves. The teams were playing in the World Series, and as usual, Yogi Berra was keeping up his ceaseless chatter behind the plate and intended here just to pep up his teammates on the one hand and distract the Milwaukee batters on the other hand. And as Hank Aaron stepped to the plate, Yogi tried to distract him by saying, Henry, you're holding the bat wrong. You're supposed to hold it so you can read the trademark. Aaron didn't say anything, but when the next pitch came, Hank Aaron hit it in the left field bleachers. After rounding the bases and tagging home plate, Aaron looked at Yogi Berra and said, I didn't come up here to read. You know, there's no doubt that one of the tools that the devil tries to use on human beings is the tool of distraction. In other words, he wants to divert our minds and our attention away from what the Lord wants us to do. Distractions can become a stronghold that is hard to break, and these distractions can even be things that are not in themselves bad, but just prevent us from being what God wants us to be. Hebrews 12:1 admonishes Christians to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You know, many times these weights are simple distractions that create enormous drag. As one preacher illustrated, he put it this way, it's perfectly legal to run a race in army boots. You can run a race in army boots. He says it wasn't wise and would guarantee failure. But you can legally do it if you want to. You know, many of the things that prevent spiritual growth and development are legal. Not anything even wrong with them. But they lead to certain unsuccess. It's like choosing good things instead of the best things. These distractions can be so deceptive that we're not even aware of what's taking place, like this following story. It's kind of humorous. The Soviet leader, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name, he's just a Soviet leader. He used to tell of a time when there was a wave of petty theft in the Soviet Union. And to try to stop this, the authorities put guards around the factories because they knew things were being taken. And at one timber works in Leningrad, the guard knew the workers in the factory very well. The first evening came, and out came this man named Petrovich with a wheelbarrow, and on the wheelbarrow was a great bulky sack with a suspicious-looking object inside. "All right, Petrovich," the guard said, "what have you got there?" He said, "Oh, it's just sawdust and shavings." "Come on," the guard said, "I wasn't born yesterday. Tip it out." And out came nothing but sawdust and shavings. So he was allowed to put it all back again and go home. The same thing happened every night of the week. The guard became frustrated. Some of you know where I'm going with this, don't you? Finally, his curiosity overcame his frustration. He said, "Petrovich, I know you. Tell me what you're smuggling out of here and I'll let you go." And Petrovich said, "Wheelbarrows, my friend. Wheelbarrows." His mind was so focused on what was inside it, he didn't realize what was being taken right out from under him. He didn't realize what was obvious. And may I say this to you? Many times when we're distracted, we already know it. It's things that we know we should be doing, but rather we let other things take its place. This message will not be exhaustive. I'm just going to survey this stronghold. And there's several things about it that I want to give us today. And I'm going to focus our attention on these three different passages of Scripture. I'm going to read some of it, but not read all of it as this message proceeds. Now, before I get to the main thought today, which the main thought is, how do I live and not be distracted? That's the main thought. But before I get to that, it's going to all be in the same passage of Scripture. I want to give you three things today from these three different passages of Scripture here that we get distracted by. I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew, first of all, the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. Now, I'm not going to read this here for time's sake, but I will read some of it when I get to the main thought. The number one thing that I've got in my notes here that the devil uses to distract us from what God has for our life. Number one, the devil uses, look here please, this is deep today, you ready for it? The devil uses stuff. He just uses stuff. And what I mean by stuff is just things on earth that just call for our attention. Now you don't have to read it, but later if you want to read it while I'm preaching, because you can't stand looking at me, that's okay. Verses 19 to 24, I get this in Matthew chapter 6. I'm only going to paraphrase this. In these verses, we read how the things of this world can become the attraction of our heart. We can become so distracted by the stuff on earth that we lose sight of what really matters. The stuff of this world can become so important to us that it distracts us and we give our heart to it and we lose sight of the life beyond. Mark chapter 4 verses 18 and 19 puts it this way. "And these are they which are sown among thorns," talking about the sower sowing seed, "such as hear the word, and the cares of this world," the stuff, "the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it become unfruitful." Let me just say this to us here. This is just really my introduction. Just by means of introduction, number one, the one thing the devil tries to use to distract us from all God has for us is he uses stuff. Just things. Perishable things. I'm talking about whether it be our health, whether it be our money, whether it be our home, our car, our job, our family. Just the stuff on earth that's just all the time just calling for your attention. Secondly, this is all my introduction now. Just stay with me here. Not only stuff, but turn to Matthew chapter 14. Hold your place in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 14, you're going to have three fingers here, okay, to hold your place, all right? One in Matthew chapter 6, we're coming back there when I get to my main outline. The other one's in Matthew chapter 14. This is verses 23 to 31. This is the story when the Lord comes walking on the water and there's a mighty wind blowing. And Peter said, "If it's you, Lord, bid me come to you." And the Lord said, "Come on." That's the Jenkins version, "Come on." And Peter steps out of the boat. And in verses 23 to 31, you'll notice he's walking to Jesus. But then the Bible tells us in these verses that when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And he began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Here's the second thing the devil will try to use to distract you. I call it storms. He'll try to use stuff on earth to get your mind off of the Lord. He'll try to use storms that hit your life when the wind is boisterous and the waves are crashing in. Get this, as long as he kept his eyes on the Lord, he was walking on water. But as soon as he took his eyes off the Lord and looked at the storm going on around him, his mind was distracted and he began to sink. The point is, Peter walked on the water in faith to the Lord Jesus' word. But as I've already said, when he took his eyes off the Lord and put them on the strong winds, the storm blowing around him, he began to sink. May I put it this way? The storm had become a distraction. And many times the storms of life can become a distraction to what the Lord is doing in our life. May I say this to you? What a mighty thing God was in the midst of doing. He was allowing a human being to walk on water to himself. And just because the storm was big and Peter took his eyes off the Lord and looked at the storm, as soon as he got distracted, he missed out on what the Lord was doing in his life. You know, when we get distracted so often is when things are not going our way. When there's a storm brewing. This is all introduction. I know it's long. But I'm trying to help somebody today. We get so distracted from what God wants us to do. And the Lord knows that the devil tries to use the stuff on earth to do it. He'll try to use storms of life to do it. But then I'm going to give you one that may shock you. I want you to find your place there because I'm just helping you get to where we're going to focus here in just a moment. I hope your finger's in Matthew chapter 6. You've got a finger there in Matthew chapter 14. Now I want you to have a finger in Luke chapter 10. Here's the third thing. Now again, I remind you this is not exhaustive. These are not all the things that is on earth that's trying to distract us, but I'm just giving you three of them today just to kind of whet your appetite a little bit to help you see that you and I need to fight against the stronghold of distraction. This one may surprise you. The devil will try to use stuff to distract you. The devil will try to use storms to distract you. Are you ready for it? Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. The devil will also try to use service to the Lord to distract you. You say, what? You mean serving Jesus can become a distraction? Look here. Yes. Yes. Should we be serving Jesus, amen or not? Yes. But not to the neglect of something else. Now I'm telling you here that Martha, in this verse, right, these verses, you can read it there if you want. The Bible says Martha was cumbered about much serving. Who was she serving? The Lord. The Lord came to her house. And the Bible says she was cumbered about. You know what that word cumbered means? Look it up. You know what it means? Distracted. She was distracted about much serving and being drawn in different ways at the same time. In other words, she was concerned to entertain the Lord in her house by making sure her hospitality was immaculate. No doubt, and I get this now, her heart was in the right place. There's no question about that. She wanted everything to be just right because Jesus was in her living room. Okay, friends? Ladies, you don't want anybody popping in on you, probably, right? Unannounced. Aren't you glad the pastor pops in unannounced? I mean, isn't that a blessing in your heart and life? I'm just telling you to you that don't throw Martha under the bus here. The Lord's in her home. Jesus is in her house. And she's so concerned about making sure everything's in its right place, she wanted to sufficiently entertain the Lord in her home. But we see she was more concerned with this service to Him. And at the same time, she was being drawn away from Him. We know that Mary was sitting at His feet, listening to the Word of God. It is possible to be involved in service to the Lord and yet be distracted from the main thing. It happened with the church at Ephesus as well. Revelation 2, verses 1 through 4 says it this way, "Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works." Now listen to the works. Listen to them. "And thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted." Can I paraphrase? If you look at that, that's a pretty good church right there. They know false prophets. They're not going to listen to them. They're working for God. God says, "I know all about you. You're serving me. You're pleasing me. You're doing everything for me. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Notice he didn't say thou hast lost thy first love. Somebody say amen there, friends. He didn't say you've lost your first love, but you've left your first love. It's possible to love the Lord and serve the Lord and yet be distracted. Distracted from the quiet time of just sitting at His feet, listening to His Word. There is no doubt the devil's trying to distract us from being all the Lord wants us to be. We see that he can use so many things, including stuff, storms, and even service to distract us. Let us understand that no one is exempt from this potential stronghold. And let us determine not to live a distracted life. Therefore, may we learn some wonderful Bible principles. You're in the passage there. Those three things: stuff, storms, and service. We're going to go back to that and visit that and get a 3-point outline about how to fight against distractions. We're going to focus on these passages. The first one is Matthew chapter number 6. I hope you're there already. But look at Matthew chapter 6. And look at verse number 19. Point number 1. In other words, Pastor, how can I live undistracted? How can I live in such a way that I know when I see Jesus, He's not going to look at me and say, "You wasted your time"? There was a gentleman, I think it was A.W. Tozier. I'm not sure about that. I was reading this yesterday, but my mind is so short, I don't remember who it was. But he made a statement like this. God has given enough time to us to do everything He wants us to do. And yet so many are like, where do the days go? There's no way I can get all of this done. Then maybe you've got too much you're doing. May I say this to you? I'll tell you when I get overwhelmed. You say you get overwhelmed? Yes, I get overwhelmed. Well, when I look in the mirror. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding with you there. But I get overwhelmed when I start picking things up that God never wanted me to pick up. And it takes the Holy Spirit of God to give you discernment on that's what God wants you to pick up and that's what you want to pick up. Now, you've got to be walking with God to know the difference between both. Because I'm telling you, number one thing to do to make sure you do not live life distracted, number one, it's so simple it's ridiculous. Here we go. Number one, seek God's kingdom first. This is found in Matthew chapter 6, look at verse number 19. The Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse number 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one, despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. This is point number one. In this passage, this is the one where we talk about the stuff of this earth. Just stuff can take our eyes off the Lord. This same passage, we learn something to combat against stuff. And what we learn about the stuff of this world is to get our eyes off this world and seek the kingdom of God first. This is number one. In other words, right here it says, instead of laying up treasure on earth, that we should send our treasure ahead, where neither moth nor rust corrupts and thieves do not break through and steal. He's commanded to lay up treasures in heaven instead of on earth. He has given the illustration using the eye and how it's to be healthy and single. Then he concludes in verse number 24, he says, no man can serve two masters. He said, ye cannot serve God and mammon. Notice in this verse how the Lord Jesus said, ye cannot serve two masters. You know what the word serve means? It means to be a slave to. You know what the word master means? It means controller or supreme in authority. It's common sense. You can't have two masters. You can't have two controllers. You cannot have two that's supreme in authority. Now get this. He goes on to say that if this were the case, one would love one of them and hate the other one. In other words, if you try to serve two masters, you're going to favor one of them. That's what he's saying. You cannot look at your master and say, he's supreme and he's supreme. That's not even possible. There can only be one in supreme. Everybody with me today? I hope you are. Because I'm going to tell you something, this will help you if you let God speak to you. The Lord brings out how you cannot be a slave to two controllers at one time. You cannot serve God and the things of this world. We're talking about the stuff here now. This is number one. The stuff, seek God's kingdom first. You cannot serve stuff and serve God at the same time. It's either or, but it's not both. God does not want your divided interest. He desires and deserves all of our affections. You cannot divide your heart with half here on earth and the other half in heaven. You have one heart, and you must choose where it will be. Determined to seek God's kingdom first, not what is on this earth. Lay up treasure in heaven, not on this earth. Colossians 3:1-2 puts it this way. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Let me ask us a question. Be truthful with yourself. Are you more interested in God's kingdom or this world? Are you laying up treasure? By the way, you are laying up treasure, whether you realize you are. Your heart is a treasure, friends. Are you laying up treasure here or there? Are you really seeking the things above? Put your life last week under the spiritual microscope. Did you store it up here? Or did you send it on ahead? Seek God's kingdom first. Let me give you a second thought. Turn with me now to the next passage of Scripture, which is Matthew chapter 14. This is the second passage of Scripture here where the devil not only uses stuff to combat that, seek God's kingdom first. Secondly, he'll use storms to combat that. We've already preached on it, but I'm just going to show it to you here in Matthew chapter 14. Look at verse number 28. The Bible says it this way, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Second thought today. You follow me what I'm doing? The introduction, I brought out three things that the devil tries to use. These three passages, Matthew chapter 6, he tries to use the stuff of earth. So the answer to that, to live against that, so you're not distracted by stuff, is you seek God's kingdom, not this world. The second thing is storms of life and what God is doing while the wind is blowing. To combat that, it's easier said than done. But number two, set your eyes on Jesus. What I mean by that is the point that Peter walked on the water in faith to Jesus' word. But when he took his eyes off the Lord, and he took his eyes off the word of God and put them on the strong winds blowing around him, he began to sink. The storm could do no harm to him while his eyes were in the right place. And what a lesson for all of us to learn. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on God's word, and you can walk above the storms of life. Hebrews 12, 2 and 3 says it this way, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him which endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." May I paraphrase those verses? Keep your eyes glued on Jesus and you'll never stop. You show me somebody who quits, they've taken their eyes off the Lord. And you show me somebody that a storm is brewing in their life and they're crumbling, they're falling apart, they don't know what to do. I mean, they're distracted, they've quit on God. What's the problem? They've taken their eyes off the Lord. May I say this to us? And I say it in faith. It takes faith to keep your eyes on the Lord when the winds are blowing strong. But it is the answer. If you take your eyes off the Lord, you will be distracted. A little boy, 5 years old, was singing along in the home. That famous hymn, "Trust and Obey, for there's no other way." And as he was singing, his mother started listening intently because she noticed something different. I've said this before here, but some of you haven't heard it. Instead of singing "Trust and Obey," he was singing "Trust and Okay." May I say this to you? That boy got it right. Trust, it's okay. I mean, only God can help us with these kind of things. I know storms of life can be distracting. But during these times, in all times, the answer is to keep our eyes glued upon the Lord. Not be blown off course by the troubles of life. He's the answer. And the third thing, the third passage of Scripture that I had you turn to was Luke chapter number 10. If you'll turn there, please. Luke chapter 10. This is the story of Mary and Martha, that Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus and Martha's cumbered about much serving. Look at chapter 10, verse 38. It came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered, distracted about much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bitter therefore that she help me." Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." My, may the Holy Spirit of God help us to get what the Lord is teaching here. These verses tell us that Mary sat at Jesus' feet, listening to his word. The word "sat" here, if you study that word, it implies she was ready to hear, she was ready to submit, and she was ready to obey. It said that it was an ancient posture of disciples or learners. It was a place of subjection. She simply wanted to spend quality time, here it is now, with the Lord. And hang on his very word. Martha was cumbered about serving. We've already looked at that. She was distracted. Charles Spurgeon put it well. He said, "Martha was not blamable for serving, nor for serving much, but for being distracted with care when she should have been listening to her Lord." This is a classic case of choosing something very good over something best. Mary wisely judged that it would be better pleasing to the Lord for her to hearken to his teaching than to offer him a grand entertainment. And what were just dishes to him should be just dishes to us. Do you understand what I just said? He had far rather receive our attentive ear than any or all the other attentions that we can afford him. G. Campbell Morgan put it this way: Mary knew the one deep secret that love cannot finally express itself in service. It must take the place of devotion and discipleship. Martha was so consumed with serving the Lord under a roof that day that she got upset with her sister Mary for just spending time with the Lord. She even asked the Lord if he didn't care that her sister was not helping her serve. And the Lord told her, right here, he said, "Martha, Martha, you're careful and troubled about so many things. One thing is needful." The word "careful" means anxious. "Troubled" means disturbed. "Needful" means necessary. And the Lord said, "Mary has chosen that good part. It's not going to be taken from her." In all of this, we see summarized what the Christian life is all about. Martha, trying to provide temporary entertainment, was taking her away from receiving eternal truth from her Savior. She was so busy doing things for the Lord that she neglected time with the Lord. She was losing invaluable moments to learn of Jesus. Look here, please. The Lord's not pleased with service rendered to him if quality time spent with him is not in place. He wants both. He does want to be served, don't get me wrong. But if you're serving without sitting, you're missing the Christian life. There was a deaf father. He was deaf. He had lost his wife and she had left him one daughter. He loved to have her with him and he was a very busy man and they only had the evenings together. He would come home from work and after dinner they would spend several hours together and one or the other would read and then she would play and sing for him. He found his greatest peace in the company of his darling child. He was getting along towards the end of year, and the daughter said to him one evening, she said, "You'll excuse me tonight, Father, I have something I should do in my room." The next night it was the same thing, and the next, and much to his disappointment, he had gotten so used to it, and he didn't even start asking anymore what she was doing. having to go to her room alone. Finally, Christmas morning came, and she came into the room and called, "Merry Christmas, Dad." She handed him a pair of crocheted slippers, which she had made for him. Because, see, that's why she was dismissing herself. She was going to spend time alone to crochet the slippers for her dad. And after her dad thanked her, he said this, and I quote, "I would much rather have had you with me all those lonely evenings than to have these slippers, beautiful and comfortable as they are." You know, I think our Lord says the same to us. We're trying to please Him by much serving. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm afraid that He may say to many of us, "You've spent so many hours in service when I would rather have had you at my feet. You were not there when I wanted to share my secrets with you." May we learn more and more that our service should come out of our sitting at Jesus' feet. He is not impressed with our service if we are not taking time to sit at His feet, listen to His word. Mark 3:14 says He ordained 12 that they should be with Him and that He should send them forth to preach. Interesting, isn't it? It didn't say He's ordained 12 that they should preach the gospel around the world. He said He ordained 12 that they should be with Him. Then He sends them forth to preach the gospel. Don't let the cares of this life take you away from the presence of the Savior. Mary's choice to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear His word would never be taken away from her. But it was not often that Martha had Jesus sitting in her home. Are you following me what I'm saying this morning? We can become so distracted that we lose sight of the main thing. There's so many things that can distract us from being all God wants us to be. In this sermon, we just looked at three of them. There are many others. Go do a Bible study. But these are three of them. And we need discernment to recognize when the devil's trying to use this stronghold to keep us from God's best. Let us determine never to let distractions get a foothold in our lives. Determine to live life to the fullest as God intended, redeeming the time as God's word says. Let us prioritize our lives in accordance to the will of God. And may the Lord help us to prioritize our lives around seeking God's kingdom. Setting our eyes upon the Lord. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Today, I want to help you. I want to help you every time I get up to preach. But I want to be honest with you. I need this today. I need this. I wonder today, are you distracted? Are you really seeking God's kingdom first? Are you sitting here today in every circumstance of life, even if there's a storm brewing, storm blowing, whatever, your eyes are focused completely, intensely upon the Lord? And I hope you're serving. I hope you are. But I ask you, even if you're serving, how often are you truly, genuinely sitting at His feet? I'm convicted. I'm cut. I hear that dear man of God, Dr. Clarence Sexton, ringing in my ears right now. Who comes before what? Who comes before what? Who God is should come before what we do for Jesus. I call on every bus worker. I call on every staff member. I call on every deacon, every Sunday school worker, every soul winner, every children worker, every teen worker, every nursery worker, everybody serving God. I call on all of us and I say, we need a revival of just sitting at the feet of Jesus. Let him bombard us with his word. My wife needs a husband who sits at the feet of Jesus. This church needs a pastor who sits at the feet of Jesus. God is working in my own heart this morning. And I give him praise for it. God, help me not to live distracted, to seek your kingdom, to set my eyes upon you, to sit at your feet. This is what we need. May God help us with this. I'm sick and tired of the devil waving distractions all over the place. When God has everything we're searching for already planned out. Amen or not this morning. Let's determine not to be distracted. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we, Father, bless today, I pray. Help us to live above the distractions of life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder today, first of all, do you know Jesus? Have you trusted Christ? Do you know that heaven is your home? Do you know that beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you drop dead right now that you're going to heaven? Do you know that? If you do, you ought to thank God for the amazing grace in your life. If you don't, today's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. Is there one today you say, Pastor Jody, pray for me. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I promise you that as they begin to play through softly. But you say, Pastor, I do not know that heaven's my home. I want to. I just don't know that. I do not have that peace in my heart. But I know this. I want to. I want to know for sure. I don't, but I want to. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand? I'll pray for you. Anybody like that? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. Let me ask you this question. You say, Pastor, I'm a Christian. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm distracted. It may be by stuff. It may be by a storm that's blowing in your life. Or it may be even in your service to God. And the Lord is dealing with you. Like he dealt with your pastor and saying, you are distracted. And you say, Pastor Jody, that's me. I'm a Christian. God knew when he laid this message on your heart that I needed it. And he's dealing with me. Be honest. Would you raise your hand? Be honest about it. God is dealing with you. That's several of you. You can put your hand down. Thank you. I'm going to have Brother Gary to begin to sing. And if God is dealing with you, give God praise for it. You know when he deals with us and convicts us, you know what that is? That's his grace and mercy. That's what it is. He just wants us to have the life he's made us to have. He's a wonderful God. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace. Think about his mercy. Oh, God's been good to me. Brother Gary sings, God is speaking to you from the balcony down below as he sings. You get out of your seat and come. Come on now, would you please?
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled?
Come talk to God.
No light in the darkness.
Never be ashamed to respond. God speaks to you.
There's light for a look at the Savior.
From the balcony down below.
And life more abundant.
What about it, Father?
And free.
Are you a father that's living a distracted life?
Turn
Mother,
your eyes
husband,
upon Jesus.
Wife, brother, sister,
look
daughter, son.
Look full in his wonderful face.
See?
And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory.
We're just about done. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, folks are praying. I wonder today, who among us sits at the feet of Jesus enough? I'm not talking about sitting there and never doing anything for him. No, no, no. If all you do sit at his feet and don't get out and serve him, you're missing the other half of the coin, you understand? But it's so easy today to even serve God without sitting at his feet. What we need, no doubt about it. My brother Gary, sing one more verse. God is speaking to your heart about sitting at his feet, setting your eyes on him, seeking his kingdom first. May God help you. The altar still open. As he sings, you come, please.
His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell.
Sing it if you know.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonder.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Daniel, if you'll stand and pray for us. This is our closing prayer. You can be dismissed right after this.